Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. And this is part 2 of our study in this chapter, Matthew chapter 10. And speaking of Jesus, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits," or demon spirits, "to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And in verse 2, and actually it goes to verse 4, he named the 12 apostles. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, as the song goes, I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour, I need Thee. I know in today's understanding, who needs God? We can do it ourselves. We've got our own bootstraps. Or I can depend on government. I've got insurance, whatever. I need God. I need God. There's no way I can preach these sermons without the help of God. There's no way I can preach these sermons without the help of God. I need understanding to know what the text says, so that when I come before the people, I don't sound like an idiot. I need the presence of God much more than currently rests on me, because I want to reach the heart. I want to touch the heart. I want conviction to rest upon me, that the heart is touched. And my listeners are moved to follow the Lord, to surrender their lives to Him. Lord, please help us today. Give us understanding of the text. Give us illumination. Please help us, O God, in Jesus' name. But it says that he called his 12 disciples. Later on, there were called apostles, and we covered that last week. He sent them to preach the gospel, to preach the message of the kingdom, to preach that men ought to repent and to walk humbly with God. But as they went, everywhere they went, they prayed for people, they laid hands on them, what have you. And just as we read that everywhere Jesus went, the people were healed, the scriptures tell us that the apostles, these disciples, they too heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, etc. Jesus walked on the water. Well, what do you know? Peter walked on the water. Jesus preached, and multitudes listened. What do you know? Acts chapter 2, thousands came to God at the preaching of Peter and the other apostles. But it says that he gave them power against unclean spirits or demon spirits or devils or whatever term you want to use. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to deliver people. People bound by demon spirits, they were set free. And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. The listing I gave earlier, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, what have you, that's in an order. And I think I'm quoting it right from one of the other Gospels. But in this case, here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it lists demon spirits first, and then also the power to heal all sorts of sickness and disease. And I believe the order here tells us something. Most of the time in the Gospels you see that Jesus healed the sick again and again and again. And we talked a few weeks ago about the woman with the issue of blood. She came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. So many, again and again and again, it mentions so many that were healed. And it mentions a few times that demon spirits were cast out. But again, in this telling, the first time we hear of the 12 disciples, Jesus gives them power first, or listed first, that demon spirits would be subject to Christ's name. And of course, I'm quoting Luke chapter 9 and 10. First, demon spirits, and then all manner of sickness and disease. And I believe that this tells us that God gives us, mankind, if we will trust in Christ, victory over the devil. And the devil is the cause of all of the ills in the world. If something's wrong, and I don't mean to quote Flip Wilson, but Satan is behind it. And the scriptures tell us that. The long view, the overall view of the Bible, is that Jesus Christ, He came to this earth to save sinners. Save them from what? From sin. What sin? It's breaking God's laws. And where did that come about? If you've ever been to Sunday school, you know the answer. Genesis chapter 3 tells us where sin and rebellion and disobedience came from. And I'll read that in just a second. But in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it talks of Christ, and it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And again, if you take Scripture as a whole, God rescues mankind from sin and its consequences, hell. And all of this was brought on at the instigation and lies of Satan himself. Again, he gives us victory over the devil. Victory over the consequences of sin. Victory, complete and total victory. Again, the story starts in Genesis 3, which you go to the last few chapters of the book of Revelation. And it says that Satan, the devil, that old serpent, is cast into hell. And the earth is remade without sin. And we all live, if I can say it, happily ever after, if our name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life. But in Genesis chapter 3, and the whole chapter is instructive, but I'll read, or try to read, verse 9 through 15. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? Hey, where you at, Adam? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, Who told you you were naked? Clothes hadn't been invented yet. Strip malls hadn't been invented yet. JCPenney didn't exist. Walmart, nobody thought of it yet. No clothes. And God said in verse 11, Did you eat of that tree that I told you, hey, don't eat of that tree? Don't pick that fruit. Don't eat that whatever it was. We say an apple, but the text doesn't say it. It just says fruit. And the man said, The woman, Eve, you gave me that woman. She's the one that picked that fruit and gave it to me, and I ate it. Pointing fingers already. And it says in verse 13 that God turned to Eve and said, What have you done? And she told the truth, though she pointed her finger. She said, The serpent tricked me, beguiled me, and I did eat. And it says the Lord turned to the serpent and says, Because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And it's true, that's what snakes do. They live in the ground. I mean, sometimes they crawl up trees or what have you, I understand, but they live on the ground. But it says in verse 15, And I will put enmity or hatred between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, or offspring. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We know that the eventual offspring of Eve, Adam and Eve, is Jesus Christ. And Satan bruised the heel of Christ, or bit him that he died. In other words, it's a prophecy of Calvary. It's a prophecy that God sent his Son to die for the sins of the world. Again, right in the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, only three chapters in, and it's all lost. All hope is gone. Man has fallen into sin. But right there, God gives a promise that the second Adam, as Paul says, is coming, and he'll be killed. He'll die for the sins of the world. But it says that the seed of the woman bruises the head of Satan. And again, I quoted from Revelation or referred to it, in the end, because of Calvary. in the end, because our precious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was slain or killed on the cross for you and I. In the end, Satan is totally, 100%, absolutely defeated. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night forever. 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 But notice what it said. God said, "Hey woman, what happened? What'd you do?" "Well, the serpent, that snake, he beguiled me, he tricked me, he deceived me, he lied to me, and convinced me to eat that fruit off that tree." But Revelation 20, the verse I just read, verse 10, it says the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. This same serpent. And there's more that I should teach. There's more that I should talk about this serpent. He willingly allowed the devil to use him to speak to Eve, to deceive Adam and Eve. But Satan was behind it. The devil was behind it. But again, there's wonderful victory. Wonderful victory that God gives us. And as we study the Gospels, Matthew being the first evangelist, the first Gospel writer, when he finally got around to calling his 12 disciples, his 12 that he would send out to preach about Christ, he gave them power over unclean spirits. Oh, and not only power over the devil, but power over the results of the fall. Genesis 3, we refer to that event I just read as the fall of mankind. And everything, all the bad stuff, all the war, all the murder, all the rape, all the drug addiction, all everything you can name that's bad, we can look in Genesis chapter 3 and see where all of it got its start. But God gives victory. And God called His 12 apostles that He sent out, apostello, to send in Greek, to preach. The foolishness of preaching, it says, if you trust in Him, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you put your confidence and trust in Him, you too will have victory. You too can have eternal life. Is there any sick among you? It says in James, I think it's chapter 5, let him call for the elders of the church, the deacons, the pastor, whatever, the Sunday school teacher, whoever. Come on up and let's pray for so and so. It says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Oh, and by the way, if he's committed any sin, that sin's forgiven. It's a wonderful promise. It's a wonderful promise. Again, not only does God heal the sick, but along with it, He's quick to forgive of any sin you might have committed. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, God says, are you God's people? Are you a Christian? Do you believe in the Savior? He said, if my people, which are called by my name, If you're a follower of Christ, you're a Christian, you're called by His name. I understand that this is Old Testament. I understand it's a promise to the Jews. But still, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. If we turn to God and repent of our sin, and we spend time seeking God's face, or spend time praying and studying the Bible, trying to understand how to live, what to do, how to speak, how to respond, what have you, how to do as the Bible says, how to live as a Christian ought, then God will hear from heaven, and He'll forgive your sin, and healing, divine healing, is available if we will but believe. Now, again, I understand this is an Old Testament promise, but I want to talk about not Israel, but America. I wish we would do this. Conditions are going to have to get a lot worse in this country before we take this verse to heart. Oh, one Christian or another may believe it. But when the businessman and the guy that works in the office or the guy that loads trucks for a living, if we would repent of our sin, if we would turn from our wicked ways as a country, if we would say, you know, the Bible says we shouldn't commit adultery, and the Bible also says we shouldn't commit fornication, but Lord, every time I turn my TV on, I see immorality. And oh, you know, back then I used to practice that too. Lord, I'm wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Lord, forgive our country. If we, as a people, would repent of our sin, and I'm just talking about one, there's a bunch of different sins you can name. What about abortion? You know, we've killed 60 million babies in the womb. We can kid ourselves all we want, but God counted every one of them. And God holds that against America. And we ought to repent. We ought to repent. I could spend weeks, I suppose, talking about all the sins that America as a country participates in. But if we, as a people, would repent, God would notice it. He would hear from heaven, and He would forgive our sin. And if we asked real nice, maybe He would heal our land. Maybe God could once again bless America.